Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, tonight the sermon text will be the Gospel from Luke chapter 15, particularly focusing on the parable of the woman who has lost a coin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you diligently search for us and that when we are found, when we are returned to you, you rejoice. Please bring us tonight and in our lives into the joy of being found by you and help us to share that joy with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, recently my wife lost her phone and there was not rejoicing in the head household when this happened. We went back to all of the places that the phone could have possibly been lost, we thought. We went to the shop where Yvette last saw her phone. We went and drove around the place where it may have dropped out of the car by mistake when she got out of the car. We searched the car itself, we searched the house, we tried to ring the phone. We could not find the phone. It was a smartphone, so it had all of the contacts and diary and all that other stuff on it that seems so important and vital to our lives these days. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells not one but three parables of things that are lost. They're commonly called, and if you look in your NIV, you'll see that the headings are the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. However, following some commentators, I prefer to focus not only on the passive object of the parable, but the active subject, the one who does the finding. And so I prefer to rename the parables because I think that helps us to focus on the one who is actually doing the acting in each of them. The parable of the good shepherd and the lost sheep. The parable of the diligent woman and the lost coin. And the parable of the good father and the two lost sons. I think that really helps us to focus in on what's actually happening in these parables. The parable of the diligent woman and the lost coin is kind of sandwiched in between the parable of the good shepherd and the lost sheep and the parable of what's often called the prodigal son. And I believe that the parable of the diligent woman often gets overlooked. It's not very often preached about. I mean, in our church calendar, we actually have a Good Shepherd Sunday. But we don't have a diligent woman Sunday. But it is very clear in this parable, and actually all the way through Luke, that Jesus deliberately and in a sustained way uses both female and male, or feminine and masculine image, for the work of God. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, we find at least 27 deliberate pairings of God's work in the world of women and God's work in the world of men. And that stretches right from the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And all the way through Jesus' healings, there is parallel healings between Jesus healing a man and Jesus healing a woman. And in Jesus' parables, he often uses female imagery for the work of God. What might be lost in our patriarchal and male-dominated church history? What might fall through the cracks by ignoring or downplaying or sweeping under the rug the images of God in feminine imagery? What might our church have lost from downplaying the stories of 50% of God's people? In this parable, Jesus deliberately compares the saving work of God with a woman who is diligently looking for something that was lost. And Jesus says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Later on in Luke chapter 19, Jesus says of Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus stands up and says, Lord, look, now I give half my money to the poor. So Zacchaeus is repenting. He's coming back to the kingdom of God, back to the covenant people. And Jesus says, I tell you that today salvation has come to this house, for this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what is lost. Notice that in the first parable, the shepherd isn't said to seek the sheep. And in the third parable, the father doesn't go and seek the son. But here in this parable, through Jesus' deliberate use of female imagery, the woman seeks the lost coin. That's the first point that comes through really strongly in this parable. We need to remember that God is not male or female, and that male and female together bear the image of God, and that Jesus deliberately uses both masculine and feminine imagery for God's work and God's mission. The worth of what is lost. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins. I've got a jar of silver coins here. Tens, twenties, a few fifties, some fives. Maybe somewhere in your house you have a similar kind of jar. Coins are a bit of a nuisance these days, aren't they? They weigh your pocket down, they clog up your wallet. If you've got too many, you kind of take them out and put them somewhere in a receptacle like this. How much could a silver coin possibly be worth? Like, the other day I found, in fact, I've been sitting there for quite a while, and now I can't find one, on the floor of my study, two 20-cent pieces, just sitting there, and they're barely worth picking up. Sometimes when I'm vacuuming, I suck up a 5-cent piece or a 10-cent piece, like that. It's not worth opening up the vacuum cleaner bag for that. But in the world of the woman, the Greek word for the coin is drachma. A drachma was a coin that was worth about a day's wages for a male laborer, or about 2 days' wages for a female laborer. Now, you might do the calculations and think a day's wages, oh yeah, you know, I could afford that. That would be all right. It wouldn't be too much. But this was probably most of this woman's or her family's life savings, that 10 silver coins. The truth is that in the agrarian society like Jesus was telling this parable in, most people did not have money to spend or money to save. What you earned in one day was what you spent to buy your necessaries, your food and clothes for the next day. It's only recently that there has even been such a thing as a middle class in most societies around the world. Most of Jesus' listeners were very poor. What does this mean for the woman? It means that when you're right on the edge of hunger all the time, as most of Jesus' listeners would have been, the loss of a small part of what you have saved is absolutely disastrous. It's going from the edge of hunger to near destitution. And so the drachma is incredibly precious to the woman. It is worth searching for. It's worth looking hard for. It is valuable. I think about the only parallels that might go even close in our society would be if you lost your only set of keys for the car. Something I do fairly commonly. Fortunately, we've got two sets of keys, and I'll look everywhere and usually it turns up. Or if you were going overseas and you had lost or misplaced your passport. That's the kind of worth, that's the kind of urgency, that's the kind of value that the woman places on the coin. You are precious to God. Each of you is valuable, and God himself does not want to lose any of the people that have been created in his image. Sometimes the gospel can become a bit of a cliche. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's the value that God places on you. You are worth searching diligently for. It's hard to believe it sometimes, but you are precious to God. Just as precious, more precious than that coin was to the woman who lost her coin. I've missed out a step here, and that's about the diligent search. As I was researching for this parable, I read of a fascinating description of some homes in Capernaum, which was near where Jesus preached at some times during his ministry. And these homes are made of black basalt, a local rock that is quarried out of the hills. They are about the size of a one-car garage, so very small. They have tiny little windows, very high up, that are like little slits. Almost no light gets in. And on the floor, they are paved with the same kind of black basalt stones, paving stones, with cracks in between, where a coin can easily fall. And in fact, archaeologists have discovered coins in between the cracks of the paving stones in these houses. So the woman lights a lamp, because there's not much light, and she gets right down close to search every crack. It's worth it because she's looking for that lost coin. She is diligent in her search. Her search is costly, and God's search for us is costly, and he's not willing to leave any stone unturned so that none of us should slip through the cracks. Finally, when the woman finds the coin, it is such good news that she cannot keep it to herself. She has to call her friends and neighbors in and say, "Celebrate with me, rejoice with me, because I found the coin that was lost. This is worth sharing." And Jesus sticks very closely to the female imagery here. In the first parable, when the man who finds the sheep calls his friends and neighbors together, the Greek words are masculine. So the man calls his bloke friends around, you know, "Let's have a beer, I've got my sheep back." The words here in this parable are feminine for friends and neighbours. So the woman calls her female friends and neighbours, the ones who are at home while the men are out at work, and says, "Let's have a party." The point of God's seeking of us is to draw us into community. The whole point of finding something that is lost is so that it can be celebrated. God throws a banquet. The angels in heaven rejoice when one of God's lost people repents and comes back to him. Tonight we are going to taste a little bit of the joy of that banquet, the banquet that God has been preparing for us for all eternity, to which he hopes all people will come and find themselves invited. find themselves sharing the joy of finding what is lost. Community, celebration, joy, rejoicing, partying, that's the end outcome of God's mission for us. One more point about a coin. A coin can't do anything. A lost coin doesn't move or bleat like a lost sheep might do. It just lies there in its lostness, waiting for the owner to find it. And this is really the heart of the gospel in this parable too. We, in our lostness, cannot do anything to make ourselves more findable by God. We can't be especially shiny coins just lying there gleaming, hoping that we will catch God's eye. All we can do is hang around in between the cracks of life, waiting for God to come and rescue us. And this seems to indicate that repentance is not just something that we do, but it actually means being found by God, being returned to the place where we belong, being brought back into his community. That's what God does for us through Jesus. I have found myself a little bit lost recently, a little bit lost, feeling far away from God's love, feeling pretty sinful and pretty down about some of the things that I've been doing. But God has found me. God's good news has reminded me that it's not about what I do, but what Jesus has done for me. And I have rediscovered joy. The joy of being found and the joy of being restored to God's community. And it's a wonderful thing. And my prayer and my hope is, as you hear the good news, if any of you have been a little bit lost or a big bit lost, that you would know that you are precious to God and that he searches for you. He does all the costly things that are necessary to find you and to draw you back to the place where you belong, which is in his party, surrounded by angels who are rejoicing that one lost sinner has been found and come home to God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep you close to our Lord Jesus, now and always.